Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way once again, sharing with you on our broadcast time, and I'm just glad to have you be a part of our time together. You joined me, by the way, of WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM, or over in the Lower Eta area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome each and every one of you. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I'm proud to announce that we're now streaming these two broadcasts, both Ionia and Greenville, by the way of the web. So it goes all over, and that's pretty special, especially for a person that's 85 and sharing this message with you today. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, and I welcome you. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. Lighthouse, go to the messages from the lighthouse. Bring your mouse up over the messages from the lighthouse, and current media will show up. Then you click on current media. And the very top broadcast is the one for today. Whatever way you joined me, I'm just glad to have you be a part of the broadcast today. And I'm still having trouble with my voice. My wife said to me, what you got to do is you got to shut up for a while, she said. I think I just laughed at her a little bit because these last 2 weeks I've had three funerals each week plus the broadcast, and I said, how does a preacher shut up, you know? Well, I'm glad to be able to share with you. Trust you'll stick with me and my voice. And as we get going along, I'm hoping that it'll be better. I need to say thank you to those that help with the financial cost of our broadcast time. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans, Michigan. To Bill and Judy Hammond from Belding, I thank you for your support. To Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, thank you for your support to us. They're one of my longest supporters, and I appreciate them so much. And to Shiloh Community Church, that's where I pastored for 50 years. I still attend a couple services there. And by the way, the services at Shiloh start on Saturday evening, 6:30. I try to attend that service. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, I try to attend that service. And the contemporary service is at 10:45. We just can't seem to have enough strength to stay for that third service, so to speak. And over in Greenville, we got a campus there. It's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church. That's the corner of Grove and LeRae Street, and that service is at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Whatever way you joined me and whatever way we've been able to get this message out, if you wanted to come and join us at Shiloh Church in any one of the services, you would be very welcome. And if I was there, I'd be glad to see you, okay? A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out the music for today. She's always does a good job for me. She's working on December right now. And I'm working on the messages for January and February to get them ready to give to her when she gives to me the ones for December. But whatever way you join me, glad to have you with us this morning. The message for today is defeating the giant of selfishness and disrespect. We all have a little selfishness in our body, but sometimes selfishness takes over, and the person is kind of governed by selfishness. And then what I have noticed through my life, and as I study the scripture, when people become selfish, they also become disrespectful of others, and even sometimes disrespectful of God. It just seems like selfish people want to think that they're only of themselves. But not only that, they think they're the number one person. And so they don't have time for others, and they don't have time for God. I want to address that this morning because I have seen that in the last few years really increase. The idea of selfish people, the idea of living just for me, myself, and I. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. But before we do, we got a song I want us to listen to. And this song is saying, He's the Giver of Grace. God reaches down with grace for each one of us. We don't deserve anything from God, but He reaches down to give us His grace and kindness to each one of us. And that's something very special. So I will have us listen to this song, and then I'll be right back and share the message with you. God bless you. Well, that got us off to a good start, did it not? A matter of grace that comes into your life and my life when we respond to the Lord Jesus. Pretty special for each one of us. And it's that grace that causes us to want to reach out. When you've received grace from God, it should cause you to want to reach out in grace. I'll probably mention those kind of things in his next few times. Different times as we go through our message for today. Because what you have received from God, you should be willing to share with others. And how God has treated you is the way that you should treat others. And God wants us to know that. And that's a good answer for this thing of selfishness. But before we get started, we better have a word of prayer. I want to remember you, the listening audience, once again. And ask the Lord's special blessing to be upon you and whatever you're going through in your life. As we bow together, I want to remember any unspoken requests that you might have. when I come to that part in my prayer, if you just focus on an unspoken request that you may have, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless it and to bless you. Okay? Dear Father, we come to you once again. And Father, I come to you on behalf of the listening audience. That's who I want to pray for this morning, Father, is every person that's tuned my voice in. I ask that your special blessing would be upon them, that you would not only minister to them, but, dear Father, you would minister to their family as well. And, dear Father, you would meet whatever need they have at this moment, that you would be pleased to meet that need according to your divine and holy will. So, Father, I pray for any physical problems, any spiritual problems, any family problems, any financial problems that anybody's faced with this morning in the listening audience, that you would be pleased to lead them and direct them and give them the wisdom. I'm going to ask, Father, you give them the wisdom because you tell us if we lack wisdom, we can ask of you, and you will give us that wisdom. Give them the wisdom to know how to handle whatever it is that they're faced with in their individual life. And, dear Father, I also want to remember any unspoken requests that they may have. If a person has an unspoken request that they're focusing on right now, Father, if it would please you, would you focus on that with them? Again, would you give them wisdom how to know what to do if they got a decision to make? Would you give them wisdom to make that decision from the knowledge of you and your word? Guide and direct according to your will in any unspoken request this morning. Dear Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Now come and honor your word. We're going to look at something that has really been on my heart, of the fact that it seems like selfishness has taken over in so many lives. And this morning I would like to address that, Father, to teach us that there's a blessing in reaching out to others, a blessing as we don't only think of our own self, but we think of others. So, Father, be pleased to speak to our hearts through your word today. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, idea of selfishness. I always think that all of us have a little bit of selfishness in our life, and we don't really need to have a whole lot of it, but sometimes it takes over. We're living a life that is only concerned about myself, my survival. It is not that God says to you and I, we have to be perfect, but God is telling us about his kingdom. And his kingdom is not to put ourselves in the spotlight or the idea of just thinking of me, myself, and I. You know, when I was taught the Word of God, when I first started hearing about the Bible and the things of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, one thing that stuck in my mind was somebody had shared the idea that the way you spell joy in your life, the way you can spell joy is Jesus, others, and you. They used to sing a song like that. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus, others, and you. J-O-Y. You know what, folks? That's becoming a lost art. It is this idea of me, myself, and I that sometimes is taken over. I like something that God recorded for us in his word in the book of Matthew. The Pharisees had sent some Sadducees to try to trick Jesus in religious teachings and so on. And when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, one of them, an expert in Moses' teaching. He tested Jesus by asking, "Teacher, which commandment is the greatest in Moses' teaching?" Jesus answered him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment." And he said, the second commandment is like unto this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All of Moses' teaching, all of the teachings of the prophets, depend on these two commandments. You know what God is really saying through his son, the Lord Jesus? Everything that I have shared in the Word of God has to do with this idea of loving God, of loving others, and of loving yourself. Now, sometimes we make that loving yourself. If I have time, love God. If I have time, maybe I'll do something for others. But God said, no, you can't reverse that order. The greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart. And then to reach out with love for others. You see, I often think about the cross of Calvary on that hill called Golgotha. When that cross was erected, part of it reached upward. I believe that main stem of the cross reaches upward to God and who he is and what he's done for us. But then there's the side arms of the cross, and they move to the east, to the west, to the north, or to the south. You know what there's, what those cross arms are saying? Others. When Jesus died on the cross, I believe he fully satisfied God's holiness, whereby God can say, any person that believes in my son, I will give them the forgiveness of sin because of what he did for them. But I believe God also is saying, when you believe in my son, you need to reach out to others. That's that second part of the commandment. Second commandment is, it starts with others. And then it comes to you as an individual. This is what God says will give you spiritual purpose in your life. If it involves, first of all, love for God, and second, love for others, and third, love for yourself. But the selfish person puts himself where he wants first, and God and others are kind of left out of it, and many times no consideration for the fact of God and others. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, 24 through 27, Jesus said to his disciples, those who want to come with me must say no to things that they want to pick up, that they want. Instead, they pick up their cross and they follow me. And they'll find life. What good would it do for a person to win the whole world and have all of the earthly possessions he ever wanted, and at the same time lose his life? What would a man give, Jesus asked, in exchange for his life? The Son of Man will come with his angels, his Father, and his Father's glory, and he'll pay back every person based on what a person has done. He said there's going to be some rewards given out for what people have done. And it's so sad today that many people live their lives in just a selfish way. Just thinking again of me, myself, and I, instead of Jesus, others, and myself. If we're going to really, even if we're going to gain the whole world, it wouldn't do any good because you lose your own life. Do nothing out of selfishness, ambitions, consider others better than yourself, God tells us in the book of Philippians, so that you can reach out in humbleness to other people. God wants us to reach out to others, and he wants our life to be a blessing to others. Let's move on with that for just a few moments. I want to deal with this idea of selfishness first, because I believe that's what enters into our life, is this selfishness. And then when that's there, all of a sudden that takes over in such a way that it causes us to have disrespect. So I want to focus for just a few moments now on the fact that, you know, I came from a big family. And I've been noticing something that when I've got on into this 85 age period. At 85, I've got to tell you, folks, get ready for it, because your mind goes back to many things of childhood. I've been finding the last year or so that my mind goes back and picks up things that I had from childhood. And even though I thought I didn't really have a good childhood, I learned some things that have been very beneficial to me. I came from a big family, and we never had much. And I heard people when we would be around them, I heard them, that's one of the poor Harga kids. I thought, why do they call us the poor Harga kids? We didn't know you're supposed to have more than two shirts. We had one on. Mom had one in the wash. We seemed to get along okay with that. We didn't think we was poor. When I think back on that, I do not look at all the bad things that happened because we didn't have much. But rather, I think about how it taught me to be thankful for whatever I had. To be thankful that I didn't have to have 25 shirts to be thankful. I was thankful that I had two. I had one on, and Mom had one in the wash. It also taught me to enjoy what we did have. When I asked Jesus to come into my life to be my Savior, and I started growing as a Christian, I learned about seeking God and His kingdom first. And then God said, if you'll make me number one in your life, I will make sure you get some of those other things. But don't seek after that. Seek after me. So as I heard the story about a person that had so much to be considered rich, and his riches had such control over him in his life, that when Jesus gave him an invitation to follow him, he rejected Jesus' invitation. I have to say to you, how sad that somebody rejected Jesus' invitation. Let me tell you the story. It's the book of Mark, chapter 10. As Jesus was coming out to the road, a man came running to him and knelt in front of him. He asked Jesus, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, don't you? Do not commit murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give up false witness. Never cheat, honor your father and mother. And the man replied, teacher, I've obeyed all the commandments since I was a boy. In his thinking, he had obeyed all the commandments since he was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I believe he must have done a pretty good job. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I wish I could get each one of you to realize this morning that when Jesus looks at you, he looks at you through love. He doesn't look at you through disgrace. No matter what you've done with your life, Jesus looks at you with love. This man had been living his life for his riches, but he was concerned about eternal life. So he's asked a good teacher. And you know what, folks? The good teacher looked at him in love. And I think that's something that is very special. And when he looked at him in love, it goes on to say, Jesus said, you are still missing one thing. One thing. Something's got control of your life. So Jesus said, you know what I'm going to tell you to do? Sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. You will have treasures. He'd been asking, what can I do to have eternal life? Jesus is saying to him, I'm not only going to tell you what to do to have eternal life. I'm going to tell you what to do to have treasures in heaven. Then follow me. And when the man heard that, he all of a sudden got an unhappy look on his face. And you know what he did? Now listen, he walked away sad because he had owned a lot of property. And he didn't want to give any of that up. It was his selfishness that was taking over in his life, and he didn't even know. Now, I got to say this right up quick. Nothing wrong in having some possessions. Unless the possessions have control of you. If you have control of the possessions, that's one thing. But when the possessions get control of you, all of a sudden that takes over. So he's saying to him, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. When the man heard that, he was very unhappy and he was very sad. I like the wisdom of Proverbs 15:16. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. May I do that again? Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. That man's great wealth caused him turmoil. He turned and he walked away from Jesus because those riches had control of his life. Every now and then I like to remind myself of something that is in 1 Timothy because I've heard this many different times in my life. But the goodness with but godliness with contentment is gain in any life. Godliness and being satisfied with what you got. God says that's going to give you great gain in your life. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we'll carry nothing out of this world. Whatever we're going to gain in this world and our time in this world, he says we're going to leave it all behind, folks. And having food and clothes to wear, let us be content. Contentment is gone out the window. Because what's happened with contentment is the idea that selfishness has taken over. And God still says this today. Yes, 2020, God says, do not store for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust will break through, where thieves can come in and steal it. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where no thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure, now listen, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And that surely was true of that man that rejected Jesus' invitation to come and follow him because he walked away in sadness. I hope sometime later he thought of thinking about that. I don't know if he did or not. But I need to tell you, folks, sometimes when you got so much abundance, it ends up being taking us down the path of selfishness. We've been so used to just having all that we want that sometimes we never had to even wait for something. That's what scares me today. People don't want to wait. Just work through their life to gain some things. Can I go back to my childhood again for just a few moments? The other day I was thinking about this and I could remember something that happened in my childhood that I was glad that it had taken place. Do you folks remember when instead of butter, you could buy something called oleo? When I first was a kid, I can remember my first recollection of oleo, I have a hard time saying that word, was that it came packaged and it was kind of white in color. And inside the package, there was a little package of coloring. And my mom would have me take that coloring and mix that white and to make it turn yellow. And that's the way we would use it. We liked it better yellow than we did white. Maybe it made us think of real butter, I don't know. Then all of a sudden it was packaged in some pound package, and it was already colored. And so Mom bought some of that for the first time. It was a pound and was already colored. Took my job away. Then a little while later, I don't know how long, a little while later it was packaged as like butter is today and like oleo is today. It was packaged in little quarter pound sections. And Mom always bought the quarter pounders. The pound that was divided in four pieces. And Mom said this to us kids. I just put a quarter pound on. You know why? Because the more there seemed to be on the plate, the more you used. Now think about that. A whole pound of butter or oleo on the plate caused us to put more on our toast. But when she got it down to the quarter pounder, we used less of it. It would make the quarter pound last a whole lot longer. Today I want to share that story about the time of abundance in the nation of Israel. In the nation of Israel, they had been blessed beyond blessing. And the leadership had kind of taken over. The leadership on God's design was to lead the people like shepherd would lead a sheep. But these here leaders in Israel's day, all of a sudden was just thinking of me, myself, and I. So the Lord spoke to him in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 6. The Lord spoke his word to me, and he said, Son of man, prophesy against these shepherds of Israel, these leaders. Prophesy to these shepherds. Tell them, this is what the Almighty Lord says, how horrible it will be for the shepherds of Israel who have taken care of, only themselves. Shouldn't shepherds take care of the sheep? You eat the best parts of the sheep, you dress yourself in nice wool, and you butcher the finest sheep that there is. You don't take care of them when they're sick or bandage them up when they're wounded. You have not brought back those that are strayed away or look for those who were lost. You have ruled them with harshness and violence. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. When they scattered, they became food for every wild animal. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and in the high hills. They were scattered throughout the whole earth. No one searched or looked for them. God saying to those leaders of Israel, you was just thinking of yourself. You were using the people to bring about the best that you wanted for yourself. Selfishness in leadership can cause a whole lot of difficulty. Whatever selfishness is in leadership, it can cause things to be so much different for the ones that they are leading. And that's what had happened in Israel. You know, God goes on to say in the rest of that chapter, he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be their shepherd. And I'm going to meet the needs of the sheep. You've just been meeting the needs of yourself, using the sheep to bring about whatever you wanted. I want you to know, God says, that's not my design for leadership. I just got some things that he said he was going to do that I want to share with you in the bottom part of that chapter. I will search for my sheep. I'll look after my sheep. I'll rescue my sheep. I'll bring them to their own land. I will take care of them. I will feed them in good pastures. And they will gaze on the mountain of Israel. I'll take care of my sheep. I'll lead them to rest. I'll look for those that have been lost, bring them back to the fold. Any ones that's wounded, I will bandage them up. If they're injured, I'll strengthen them so that they'll get better. I'll take care of my sheep fairly. This, to me, sounds like what the Lord Jesus said when he was telling the people that he was the good shepherd that really wanted to care for the sheep. You know what, folks? Selfishness in government uses the people to bring about the things that they want for the leaders. Selfishness in the places of business that don't think of the workers that causes their business to go forward causes a whole lot of heartache to the sheep. God is saying, I want you to know that when I deal with you, I'm not thinking of what makes me who I am, because he's already who he is. But he's saying, I'm going to do everything in my power to help you. And who's to know what? He's saying, that's going to help you not to be selfish. Can I do it again? What you have received from Jesus, he wants you to do with others. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you care and compassion and concern. I want you to give care and compassion and concern to others. Doesn't that make sense to you? What you have received forgiveness, then be forgiving. You have received love, then be loving. You have received grace, then be graceful. God has been merciful to you, then be merciful. Instead, too many have turned to selfishness. I'll come back and talk about that for just a moment. But I like this song. It's one of my favorite songs when I think about these kinds of things that we're talking about this morning. You know, in this song, he's simply given us the truth. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better to obey, folks, than to sacrifice. Here we go.
I don't need your money, I want your life. And I hear you say that I'm coming back soon, but you act like I'll never return. Well, you speak of grace and my love so sweet, how you thrive on milk but reject my meat. And I can't help weeping at how it will be if you keep on ignoring my word. Well, you pray to prosper and succeed, but your flesh is something I just can't feed. Cause if you can't come to me every day, then don't bother coming at all. La la la, la 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 la, la 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 la. To obey is better. I want hearts of fire, not your prayers of ice. And I'm coming quickly to give back to you according to what you have done, according to what you have done.
Just a reminder, to obey is better than to sacrifice. And we need to know that's true. To obey God is better than to sacrifice. You know that story I just told you about the nation of Israel and the political leaders of that nation? Just doing everything to satisfy themselves and not thinking of the people. When Jesus told that he was the good shepherd, he was speaking to a lot of religious people at that time. And the religious people didn't like hearing what he had say. In their religion, they had turned to the idea of their religion had no room for what Jesus was teaching. Jesus teaching about being a shepherd. It tells us in the book of John at the end of that chapter, the festivity of the dedication of the temple was taking place. It was winter time, it says, and Jesus walked onto Solomon's porch in the temple courtyard. The Jews surrounded him. They asked him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, why don't you tell us plainly?" Jesus answered, "I have told you, but you don't believe me. The things that I do in my Father's name testify on my behalf. However, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep respond to my voice and know that they are mine. They follow me and I give them eternal life. They will never be lost, and no one will tear them from my Father's hand. My Father is greater to me, is greater even than me. He is greater that he's given me this privilege to lay down my life that I might take it up again. For these are the good things that God wants us to know and to do." You know what the people did? They had stones and they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. Jesus said, what good thing have I done that you want to kill me for? They said, it's not the good things, but he said, you're dishonoring God by claiming to be God when you're just a human being. They wouldn't accept the fact that he was God's son, that he was sent here with a message for the living, the ones that wanted to respond to him. These religious thinkings, their religious thinking had no room for Jesus to fit into their teachings. So they did this. So they said to him, they said, you disrespect God, saying that you're God. And you know what they did? They disrespected Jesus. Matter of fact, they did more than disrespect him. They wanted to kill him. And you know what I believe? From that time on, they had a plot to reach out and kill him. They wanted to get rid of him. And Jesus was just trying to tell him, this is what God wants to do for you. He wants you to know that he's going to be the shepherd of your life. The religious leaders were supposed to be shepherds too, but they weren't. They were telling other people what to do, and they were just living selfishly for themselves what they could get out of the people. You know, when religion does that, it discredits God. It reaches out against God. Before I leave this, I want to share what Jesus said the bottom line was, because it's always meant so much to me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He goes on to say, and they are in my Father's hand, and no one can remove them from my Father's hand. What a precious thing it is for us to know that God says, I'm going to take such good care of you. I've got you right in my hand. And I'm going to hang on to you and care for you. And no one, nothing, is able to pry you out of my hand. We are secure in the hands of God. We are secure in what he has provided for us. We need to defeat that giant of selfishness. Because as I just shared with you, those religious leaders became disrespectful of Jesus and of God. Do what God says to you and I. When we think about reaching out to others, I believe he's saying, I've given so many good gifts to you. And I want you to be a good steward a good steward of the blessings I've given to you so that you can pass on to others. Now, this idea of passing on to others, God wants us to know, is the idea that when you pass on to others, it's not going to hinder you. Listen to the promise in Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given to you. When you give, God said, I'll give back to you. Now, we don't just give to get back from God, but listen to what God says, how he gives. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. I like that. I mean, you do that again. He says, when God gives to you, it's going to be a good measure. It's not going to be that it's less than a quart or whatever, you know. Good measure. It's going to be pressed down. It's going to be shaken together. It's going to be running over. And it'll be poured into your lap. That's the way God gives. That's the way he expects us to give. Because you know why you know that? Because listen to what he says next. With the measure you use to help others will be the measure I will use to pay back to you. Dear folks, did you hear that? If you're going to give sparingly, you're going to receive sparingly. You're going to give abundantly, you're going to receive abundantly. That's God's promise. He wants you to be a good steward, but he wants you to do it in humility. I love the way that it is taught by, in the book of Philippians, talking about Jesus. It says, therefore, folks, if you've got any consolation in Christ, if you've received from Jesus any love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection, if there's any mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now here's what he's saying again, what I've been talking about. What you have received from God and how you have received it from him is the way he wants us to reach out to others. Now he gives us an idea of how it is. Now listen carefully. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's our answer to selfishness. Let each do it in humbleness as you give to others, but let each one esteem others better than himself. I think we got it backwards in society today. We esteem ourselves better than anybody else. And sometimes that's the way it is in the leadership within church and within government. We esteem the leaders better than the people who are the followers. And Jesus said the sheep are the ones that are followers, and that's who he's going to look out for and care for. He goes on to say, let each one not look only on your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, where does this come from? Where does this kind of teaching come into our life? I love the way it's told to us. It said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, that he was willing to leave heaven and all the glory he had with the Father. He is willing to become one of us. He is willing to become a servant to us. And he is willing to die on the cross, even that awful death of crucifixion. He humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That reason God's highly favored him and given him name above every name, that at this one Jesus, every knee shall bow. God is reminding us that as the light has shined on us, God wants our light to shine on others. And you know something, folks? Because of selfishness, this world has gotten darker and darker. And you know what we need to know? We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the light has shined on us. In the darkness of this world, that light is bright, that we need to shine on others. I want to close with something again from my childhood. And I'm not just dwelling back there, you know, but I'm just some lessons that I learned. You know, my mom kind of canned a lot of stuff. I can remember hundreds of quarts of tomatoes and all that kind of stuff that we canned. And then when the grapes came on and we would pick wild grapes and strawberries came on, we'd pick strawberries. And Mom made all kinds of jam. And I was always fascinated by how she sealed the jam. She'd fill the bottles and there'd be a room on the top of it. She'd heat up some wax on the top of the stove. And then she'd take that melted wax and she'd dump it in the top part of the bottle. And when that wax got hard, it sealed that jam. And then we would get the idea of taking off the wax, and the jam would be just as good as the day it was put in the bottle. You know what God tells us in the book of Timothy? He's reminding us of the world we're living in today. And I'm not just one to condemn the world, but let me do this with you quickly as we close. But understand this, that in the last days there will be some times that are difficult. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud and arrogant, abusive, disobedient of their parents, ungrateful, holy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderers, without self-control. They'll be brutal, not loving good, teaching reckless things and using all kinds of conceit. They'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And he said, you know what? You can have victory over that if you keep reminding yourself of who God is and what he's done for you, and remind yourself of the Lord Jesus and what he did for you, he wants you to do for others. We're going to need to listen to a song in closing, so I'll just punch this button. But God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. You know what he tells us? Cast your bread in the water, and it'll return again. Reach out to others, and God will reach out to you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Down, shaken together, run.